Addiction is one of the more curious parts of the human condition. What some can turn a blind eye to, others will fall prey to. Even when an escape is seen by the addict as needed, it can't always be reached for a variety of reasons. An addict is truly an example of that phrase, old habits die hard. And that's what my next guest has to contend with. In her work helping addicts who are seeking recovery, her work has grown in importance as New Jersey, along with the rest of the nation, has seen a frightening rise in opioid abuse and addiction. She is the medical director for the Center for Network Therapy, which is in Middlesex and West Orange, New Jersey. Dr. Indra Sadambi, how are you today, doctor?
Thank you. Good morning, Chris. First, I want to thank you for having me on the show today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here to talk about this important topic. Hopefully, people listening will get a better understanding of it, too, and maybe even see themselves or see someone who they know in our conversation. Learn more about the doctor's work, by the way. It's recoverycnt.com. We have a link over to our page as well. I'm going to use gambling as an analogy, because obviously we're talking about drug addiction here, but gambling is also an addiction. And quite frankly, I like to gamble. And I can go into a casino and set my loss limit saying, okay, if, or more accurately, when I lose $500, that's it. I'm going to go eat and make a day of it. But other people can't do that. I mean, I've lost count the number of Rolex watches or cars I could have bought from people who were just looking for money for that one last bet because that's how heavy their addiction is. Why, as I said in the intro, why do some people fall prey to elements like that and others can stay in control?
Because, Chris, addiction is a disease. It's not a behavioral problem. So that kind of explains it. Having said it's a disease, it is because addiction changes the brain in the ways that makes it hard to quit any kind of behaviors like abusing drugs, alcohol, or prescription medications, and also gambling. There are like substance-induced addiction and then non-substance-induced addiction like gambling, overeating, and stuff like that. So any of those, you know, are considered to be a chronic disease, and so it's just the behavior that's followed. We pay attention, we misunderstand that it's something that they brought it upon themselves and they should be able to stop doing what they're doing, but that's not the case. It's a brain disease and it's a chronic disease.
Well, that runs counter to something I always wondered, because I always thought that for some people who are the addicts, the gambling, the drugs, whatever gives them joy. So if your life is not going well the way you want, you don't have any focus or any concrete element of joy in your life, that's going to make you more likely to fall prey to something that truly is a negative, although you find it to be a joy.
Yes. In order to explain this, let me tell you what happens in the brain. You know, the first few times, say, a person is abusing drugs, it is a voluntary act because they choose to go experiment with this. But the drugs, when they start using it, it starts triggering a surge of endorphins, which is a pleasure hormone in the brain that delivers the euphoria or the high that we speak about. It also causes a surge of a neurotransmitter, which is called the dopamine, which remembers the connection between the ingestion of the drugs and the intense pleasure associated with it. That's where the problem starts. You know, if I were to explain it in a very easy way, if someone were to blast music right into your ear, you would turn the volume down. The same way the brain does the same thing. It tones down its own natural release of the neurotransmitters, such as the endorphin and the dopamine that I was talking about in response to the activities that are pleasurable before, such as the hobbies or eating good food or making other activities such as much less exciting. So they get more high through doing drugs and or alcohol or abusing the prescription medication instead of getting it by natural hobbies.
That explains
it. That's where the problem starts.
Well, that explains it very well, too, for myself and person listening right now to better understand it, too. Only because we have the opioid explosion right now, the epidemic in the state, and the state is working toward a legalization of recreational marijuana, is there such a thing as the gateway concept, where one lesser leads to one greater?
Yes, I'm a strong believer in the gateway concept. As I explained a couple of minutes ago, drugs cause a surge in neurotransmitters in the brain. While some drugs may cause a larger surge than the others, all of them cause an above normal surge. So once you understand that, that's like a complicated sentence. But then I think that abusing marijuana or any other mind-altering substance that crosses the brain-blood barrier will increase the risk of, abusing other drugs. For example, what I mean by that is graduating to more potent drugs down the road. This is because over time an individual abusing, say, we'll take marijuana, will not get the same euphoria as they initially did. So what they do is they start chasing that high that they got from using marijuana the first time. This is because the body develops tolerance, so they need more and more in order to get the same high. And so they want to, once they obtain initial highs that they got through the marijuana, now they seek to duplicate it. This leads to an abuse of more potent drugs as individuals chase that high. And they say, hey, this marijuana is not getting me. This dose of marijuana is not getting me the first initial high that I chased. So probably opiates might. And then they might turn to other deadly drugs like cocaine. And so that's what it is. They're chasing that first virgin high that they got through experimenting other potent drugs. So definitely the gateway concept does exist, and we need to understand it better through this understanding of what happens in the brain.
Talking with Dr. Indra Sadambi, who is the medical director at the Center for Network Therapy, which is in Middlesex and South Orange, New Jersey. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I'm sorry, West Orange, New Jersey, and her website, recoverycnt.com. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So going off what you just explained, Doctor, the earlier you go try to correct someone with the addiction, the easier it's going to be, because if you catch them later on when into the heavier material, that creates a bigger challenge then to bring them back out of that darkness.
That's right. Since I said, addiction is a chronic disease, it's prone to relapses. Why? Because these changes in the brain do not correct itself as soon as the drug use is stopped. So it takes 2 to 3 years for the brain to revert back to its normal functioning. So in the interim, the person suffering from addiction starts feeling flat, lifeless, or even depressed. And so the activities that used to be pleasurable previously are not going to be any longer a pleasure to perform. So the person who's suffering from addiction is prone to relapse just to get that surge of endorphin and dopamine, which will make him or her feel normal. So the earlier we catch this and we start treating them, the better it is, because they're not going to graduate to so-called more potent drugs. And also the prefrontal cortex is fully formed by age 21. That's why we have this age limit. We don't want kids to experiment with any drugs and or alcohol before age 21. And, but then the drug dealers want to capture that population because their customer, they got them for life.
That's very true. Your work, is it specifically focused on outpatient detox? Because when we hear of detoxification, we usually hear about long-term stays at a Betty Ford or one of the many places in Florida. We hear about the celebrity in and out in 2 weeks sometimes that never seem to work. But that's always inpatient long-term. How does what you do differ, and what are some of the successes you've seen with the outpatient detoxification programs?
Chris, I'm focusing on ambulatory detoxification. That means it's an solely outpatient detoxification. So they don't end up staying inpatient. They just go home. They come in there at 9 a.m. and stay in the facility for the day. By 5 p.m., they are back home to their own bed. And they are also going back to their environment where they have been using drugs. So this kind of helps them cope in a real world instead of just isolating them from the stressful environment and then sending them home after 15 days of treatment as an inpatient. So then the tolerance has gone down, and then when they go home, they don't know how to cope with the stress, and they end up overdosing and dying. So we don't want that. That's why this ambulatory detox really does help. And so I've been seeing quite a bit of success with ambulatory detox. This has been my work for the past 8 years, and we did not have challenge anymore to treat any age group, and the success rate is close to 55 to 60% of my patients remain sober for 90 days and above. So which is like a real challenging one at this point in time, and we are very happy to see the success rate with the ambulatory detox.
it is a different approach versus what the tradition has told people. And maybe that also, too, is why it's the traditional ways are deterrents for some addicts, because they feel that's, well, that's kind of a high hurdle. But you combine really a treatment during the day with a return to a comfort zone, or at least maybe a more secure zone, where they won't get comfortable with their old habits, obviously, for the night. It sounds like an interesting balance that obviously is working with the results and the success rates that you're having. Learn more, Dr. Sadambi's practice and her services that she offers. If it's for yourself, you're finally getting honest about things, or if you know someone that you think needs to be told honestly that they need help, this just might be the path. That would be the result of that help in Middlesex and West Orange, New Jersey. Find out more at recoverycnt.com. That's the website for the Center for Network Therapy. We've been talking with their medical director, Dr. Indra Sadambi. Doctor, thanks for the insight into what addiction is all about. I think a lot of people have a better understanding of it off of what you've described in detail here. And thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much, Chris. Really appreciate that.